Okay, good afternoon, Mayor and Council. It is 5 o'clock, June 16th. It is a special briefing that we have for all of you to receive an update on our strategic communications and marketing plan. I'll turn it over to Jacob to just do a quick little intro before we let our consultants present.
Hello, Council. Thank you for attending tonight. I don't have much to say other than thank you for your support in this process. Bowman Communications has worked really hard over the last several months. Jesse and Michelle have done a very excellent and thorough job. So I will turn it over to them and let them get started because we have a lot to cover.
So thank you guys. You will not find it surprising to hear that we just love Jack's Beach. We have told people how much we have enjoyed meeting each of you. The other thing I would say that I think is so important is how well you all as a elected body get along. Because across the state and nation, sometimes you don't see that. And so I just think it's a great, we can agree to disagree on things, so we can do it in a way that is respectful. And I just so appreciate and admire you all for doing that so well. So I think that's an important first start. We felt like we know a lot about this community from the research we've done. What we were asked to do is give you just a quick overview of kind of the highlights of the report. You should have received, and we did hear your voice, which is like, when you give us 3 days to read something, it's not enough. So, number one, we also use bigger type because I like big type, I can read it more easily. So, hopefully you had 10 days, I think, to try to have time to look through this. So it was a lot. We admit that there was a lot to go through. So we're going to kind of do the Cliff Notes version. Those of us old enough to remember Cliff Notes, I don't think anybody does that anymore. So just a few things that we want to share. So again, why are we doing this? City manager said that our council has a focus on wanting to improve communication with our residents. And we want to find ways to do it better. We also want people to feel like they have an opportunity to be heard and be a part of this community. We want to find ways to engage them more effectively. Specifically, we did a communications audit. So we went and looked at all of your existing communication tools, benchmarked them against best practices, looked at how is this done, what kind of numbers can we see. We'll talk about some of that in terms of the audit results. Then we've used the best practices and data. We, as you guys know, met with each of you individually and got your own individual feedback, met with the city manager, the deputy manager, met with the communications director. And then I think most importantly, we were able to use the new survey system you have to hear from residents. And the fun part, and so I know Jacob sent you links to those surveys. With every survey, again, our marketing expert knows this, but there are all kinds of ways to look at that data. You can look at it by gender, by age. There's links you got, you can just click the top and see different ways of looking at it and see how those things came about. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. And then we're here to give you some recommendations for you all to consider and decide how you want to move ahead. Again, what was the process? This is the timeline. We did interviews back in January. We had that workshop where you all determined, and we went around this room and you defined what are your guiding principles of how we want to communicate, and each of you got to vote and rate on the things that you thought would be most important. So we got the priorities from you all. We did the full communications audit over a number of months from February through May. We did get the feedback from your council strategic planning session that happened in May, so we could tie into that as well, knowing one of those priorities was communications, and then we developed this communications plan. I skipped the most important point. Sorry, Jess, go back up one. We did the flash vote surveys. We did two of those, one on communication and one on building on trust, and where did people trust the information coming from the city to be factual and transparent. And so those were all the steps we took to get here. So now, what were the guiding principles? Just to remind you, these are listed, and Jess will go over them. You have them also in the plan, and they were also the ones that you guys identified in your workshop.
So in that workshop back in February, we really talked about what are the communication principles that we want to use to be kind of a guiding light for how we inform our comms. And so we found these are the ones that popped up and really seem to be most important. First, to be proactive, consistent, and timely. To build trust by being responsive and being known for being responsive. Meet residents where they're at, in the ways they prefer to communicate, in messages that resonate and are easily understood. We want to ensure a consistent internal process for all communication. So that's something that's ongoing. We've heard about the Asana contract and kind of using that evolving matrix of communications to really make those internal processes more smooth, more streamlined. make communication clear and inclusive as part of also telling our own story and explaining the why behind decisions we make. So really getting our narrative out and making sure people know and have an informed view of what we do. And then finally, recognizing and rewarding creativity and innovation. Because we know, especially with communications, particularly with social media and things like that, creativity is what works. You have to be able to use these new features, use novel things to really kind of prioritize our content in the algorithm so that our residents are more likely to see it. So when we looked at our communications, we analyzed your existing tools. So the Beach Life email newsletter, your city police and Beaches Energy pages that are active and regularly posted to and used, the Jacks Beach website itself, and the weekly videos, the Take Two Tuesdays. What we found is that there's a very high average and consistent open rate for your Beach Life newsletter. It's about at a 70% rate, which is amazing that people are opening it, reading it, and we compared that to a government industry average open rate to kind of see where are we in reflecting other local local governments of about the same size. And they found that typically their open average rates are only about 47%. So to be at 70 is a very strong indicator that the email newsletter, and we found this out through surveys we'll talk about in a moment, is a very powerful way to interact with our residents.
Before we leave that, Jess, I just wanted to mention, I think the mayor gets the credit for this. She pushed that we should send it to all Beaches Energy customers.
Yes.
That's public information. They have provided that information to us. And the point was, when we did that, you now reached a much more significant audience, right? You're reaching more people. And so I would think that because it wasn't an opt-in, they didn't say, send me the city newsletter, your open rate would not be so high. Clearly, that was a good strategy. People have received it. They get it. And so if anybody says, well, I don't get it, you know, who gets that newsletter? It's as simple as going on the website and requesting to get it, or being sure that Beaches Energy has your email as one of their emails. So either way. But I just feel like we should give some credit to that, because that allowed you guys to reach a much more significant audience than people who just came and chose to sign up, where you might have 3,000 or 4,000 and now you have 17,000, 18,000 through Beaches Energy. You reach the vast majority of your community.
I'm going to take the opportunity to say, though, that we still have email lists with our resident parking, as well as our city clerk's office with our local businesses, that I also think should be added to that list.
Finding ways to merge those, and we talk also in the plan about updating those, because as you all know, people move, they change email providers, they have changes, so finding ways to do that regularly so that it also will reduce your bounce rates, meaning that it didn't reach the person it was intended to reach.
Yeah, so can I ask a question while we're still on
yes.
this about the open rates? So in my day job, I don't know enough about it, but our email marketing team said something about Apple. Apparently, so with some email providers or what the email services or whatever, you can exclude the Apple email accounts or something, because apparently those are... They don't necessarily represent that it was opened. So apparently Apple, somehow if something is sent to an Apple device, it will look like it's open, but it's not opened. It's just been delivered to the Apple device. Doesn't mean it's been opened. Do you know anything about that?
I do not.
So I'll try to find out more about it, but apparently that does affect your open rates, and they're not necessarily what you think they are. So I'll see if I can get some more information.
We're going to live in our bubble with 70%.
Well, and we use, what's the system we use for sending out the
constant contact,
which is a pretty common tool for doing it.
And in fact, when we looked at to find that government industry average rate, we went to, I believe MailerChimp was the site, and it looked at actually a bunch of different email campaigns over the course of January, I think, right, it was December to January, and they looked at other government emails that were sent out and looked at MailerChimp, Constant Contact. They went through a bunch of different of those domains that send them out and manage them for other governments, and 47% was their number. And in that research, I didn't see anything about Apple excluding anything, but Constant Contact was part of the MailerChimp total assessment of millions of government email campaigns that gave us that 47%. So I feel like if Constant Contact was included in that, it still makes our numbers very good. Because
so we use MailChimp where I work. And that's, I don't know if it's a new thing, but that was something that I saw in MailChimp when I went to go look at the data on some of our emails that we sent out. There's an option where you can exclude the Apple accounts, which was interesting. And so that changed the open rates for the emails that we sent out. Yeah.
We'll look at that. What we also found, moving past email, we dug into social media, and we found that across the board, your pages have pretty good engagement. There are some things that we think we can definitely polish and improve to grow that reach and get more eyes on. There, we'll talk a bit, and especially in the Q&A section, if you have any more questions as to specifics, we found that we really think with a couple tweaks, there are ways to make email and social media much stronger and get more eyes on. And we'll give some of that tip and feedback in a moment. There were a lot of positive responses overwhelmingly to the Take Two Tuesdays. It started kind of slow and then started building momentum. And what we can tell is that trend seems to be continuing. And a lot of viewers too like and prefer video contact. What we're finding in trends across the board for social media is that video is a really powerful medium to tell our story, to really show here's how we use resident feedback, here's how we're keeping you engaged. So the Take Two Tuesdays are a strong channel for that. We also have really good and effective outcomes from only about 1.25 of staffing positions who are dedicated to our external communications and running those pages. And we have the contracted services for Beaches Energy, which we'll talk about a bit more in detail. Areas of improvement. So one thing, we took in some of the feedback we got from FlashVote and from some of the, just really the metrics, and we looked at all of that. We found that people would like the Beaches Life newsletter more often. We found that, and we recommend really a bi-monthly publication of that, because they found that was a really strong way to communicate, feel like they were communicating with the city and knowing what was going on. So for social media enhancements, like I said, video is really important to people. It's easy to understand, very easy to digest. So we find that with more videos, stronger local focus from Beaches Energy. Right now, they use a lot of kind of static and repeating images that can sometimes be mistaken for an ad. And even though they look beautiful and they're very visual, what we found is when they focused on local content, where they had local faces, local pictures of the beach, local things that were happening, engagement and reach was so much higher. So we really want a local focus from Beaches Energy. And then greater responsiveness, so when people comment, not just about questions and concerns, because typically we're responding to questions and concerns, we want to see more about positive engagement too. So when people post that they like something, that we can have even more staffing positions or expand our ability to reach out and respond to those people. So it's not just addressing the negative, we're also encouraging and building on the positive, because people do leave positive comments. Increased interactivity, so that responsiveness back and forth. We do find that it's best to vary your posting methods, approaches, and use new features of social media. So algorithm is a little bit difficult to tack down because it is controlled by Meta or the parent companies. What we know is there are ways to kind of trick the algorithm into prioritizing our content. One way we do that is by varying the posting methods, having different ways that we're posting, text, image, carousel, short video, and using the new features on social media, because anytime you use a new feature, your content is prioritizing the algorithm because that social media company wants people to use the new features. When you use those to make content, you get priority. We encourage adding geofencing and paid reach if there is a targeted group and area you need to reach, like for project updates, to let them know about emergencies in their area. That is something you could explore using. We also think it'd be important on your actual website, the Jacks Beach website, to use the website data on what people are consistently searching for. And we recommend you look at least 365 days to account for the different trends that happen throughout the year. But use those search terms to kind of refine the way that we really provide information on the website. So if we see, for example, that they're searching for something over and over, maybe we, at different points of the year, talk about how can we put that somewhere on the web page to make it so that they see it, they're clicking on it, and they don't have to search for it.
I have a quick question. What do you guys think is the number one search topic on your website?
Oh.
Dog parks.
Nope, that's a high one. Dog parks are high.
It's going to be some type of city service, probably.
Probably Beaches Energy.
No, I was really shocked.
Vacation rentals.
Nope.
Someone said it, I think.
Parking.
Across the board.
Parking. So again, it may not be all of your residents. It can also be visitors coming, right? But they look at beach parking. They look at downtown parking. They look at all different, parking. People are like, okay, parking.
We get it, parking.
Yes, we get it. And we listed in the communications audit the most frequently searched. And the point is, make that easy for people to find. If they have to search for it, then, same thing happens with iPhones. Sometimes the search bar is so prominent when you access via phone that the first thing you just type in the word you want. You don't even look. So sometimes the tool makes a difference. But it was interesting to us that parking was like, there were five different categories of parking that were in the top 10, something like that.
Yes. It was aggressive.
It was hot.
And so you can use data like that, like the popular search terms, again, throughout a 365-day view, to figure out what are people searching for. Is there a way we could put it in their faces, make it a bit easier to find so that they don't have to go through the search bar and go through our menu options instead? We also want to talk about preparing now for the upcoming ADA requirements. So the Web Content Accessibility Guide is 2.1 level AA, which is a lot of text to basically say there are new and pretty descriptive policies that have come out. We have a deadline upcoming. That is something that needs to be kept in everyone's minds.
And I do think the attorney's office is taking lead on dealing with that. So we at least know you guys are already on it. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's a lot of work.
Yes. And then we do want to talk a bit about expanding staffing, because as you all mentioned, expanded reach is a goal. Expanded engagement is a goal. And what we know is we are doing a great job with the staffing levels we do have. However, with expansion requires probably more, at least a couple extra staff people added on, and we talk about years one and years two a little bit later on.
Before we jump into the residents surveys, I wanted to mention in your plan, on page 15 of the strategic plan, is some graphic about inside the numbers on social media. And I thought you would find this interesting, because what it talks about is the city's Facebook followers are almost 18,000. So a huge population of Facebook followers. Instagram, a good high numbers as well. The police department, people love the police department here, and they respond. Interestingly, and just did tons of research into this, some of the comments are not from people who live here. There's people that just love your police department that live in Jacksonville, right? Or all across the state and country. So they're not all residents. So that was interesting. Beaches Energy has fewer people. They have 3,863 compared to the city's 18,000. That's not terribly unusual. The interesting thing for us is that Beaches Energy, their primary source of followers comes from paid reach, which means they pay for people to see their content, right? They have a contracted service that is a company that does this for them, does their social media, and they do a ton more paid. The city does next to no paid. No paid. So yours is all what is called organic. And that's why when Jesse talked about figuring out the algorithms, your goal is to get your content in front of as many eyes as you can. And the question is, what's the best way to do that? If it's really important things, and again, important things does not mean that it's just a hurricane. Important things can mean, hey, we have a land use plan that we really want to be sure we get your attention on. And for most of us, land use, comp plans, people are like, right? But if you talk about something happening in my neighborhood, I'm now like, what? What are you doing, right? So figuring out sometimes on some of those things that might seem less exciting, if you're having the concert series you guys just had this past weekend, people want to know about that and they're excited to share. If it's something that's maybe a little more dry, might be worth putting some paid reach so you could reach people more effectively on the things they didn't know they cared about until they heard more about it. So we thought that was important. Okay, they survey. So again, I want to explain to you guys, I think you all know FlashVote. You all had decided to use FlashVote and had procured these services. And Kevin Lyons, who owns FlashVote, talks a lot about, and I think one of you all in one of the interviews talked about, sometimes we just hear from the same 10 people that come to every meeting. And we appreciate hearing from those same 10 people. The question is, how do we hear from other people? Most of the time, all of us tend to react to things we care very strongly about, or things that we are angry about. And so you have a hard time sometimes getting the average person. How do we know how people in Jacks Beach feel about things where, and as we say in Northwest Florida, they don't have a dog in that hunt, right? They don't have a real interest in it, but they care a little bit, but they're not super passionate about it. How do we reach those average people? And Flash Vote allows you to do that because people sign up to be part of this panel with no topic. They just sign up to say, yeah, I'd like to give my opinions. And so they give their opinions. And so he also puts with the surveys the amount of validity you can apply to those surveys based upon the responses that they get of how likely is that to reflect the rest of your community. So I think it's a nice way to get feedback. We thought we got some really strong feedback. This one, to me, is the most positive that you guys should feel very good about in terms of recognizing the work you guys do as a city council and as a city government. 75% of residents responded positively when they rated your work to keep them involved. Again, that's a super high number. And you're like, yeah, but you may not be talking to the people that talk to me. Right? Because sometimes people are like, I didn't hear about that. I didn't know about that. Well, 75% of them in the survey said, yeah, you do a pretty good job. They didn't all say excellent, but they all rated it okay to excellent in terms of your communication. 54% say they like the Beach Life newsletter. That is not surprising because it comes to their inbox. So they get something directed to them, it's easier to see. What we know is in this community, the traditional media just don't really work much anymore, right? You can only get the newspaper online and sometimes hard to access. So people are looking for other ways to get information. So directed to their inbox was the number one choice. Social media and the website, not too far behind. 46% said that's how they get information. When we said, how would you like to get it in the future? 55% said more emails, more Beach Life. Doesn't have to just be a newsletter, but they want it by email, and they read the Beach Life now. 44% want text messaging. Again, think of yourself. You know, I'm like, yeah, if I want to know something's happening, I like getting a short text message. And then if I want to learn more, there's a link to go learn more. You all do Code Red right now, and the Code Red things will tell you hurricane stuff, trash collection changes, you know, big stuff. We would strongly advise do not use Code Red for things other than that, because then people will opt out and you want them to stay in. But the idea of saying to people, would you like to get information about special events? They told us we want to know earlier when these events are happening. We want to know earlier about land use things. We want to know earlier about construction projects. We want to know if you're going to be doing work in my neighborhood, I want to know earlier. And so text messages and setting up a new text messaging system would be a way to do that. So that they definitely wanted text messages. And they said what you all told us, which is make stuff more interesting, make it fun, have some videos, make us laugh, have things that are, you know, they like the highest performing post that the city had in the last year was a picture that Jacob took of
the pier.
And it got the most comments, shares, engagements, and whatever. And you're like, that's the most interesting thing we've done. People love this city. And so they love seeing pictures of the community or people doing things and events and parades. Social media is not just for griping. It's about loving the things you love. And we feel like there's a way to do more of that through your social media.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
So going back to the text messages, so with Civic Plus, I signed up and I get text messages when there's a special event. But I don't know that citizens know that they can do that, you know? And so are we talking about doing something totally different and it wouldn't be Civic Plus?
Or having a separate channel that would be for other general things. And so the concern is sometimes if you put, and again, we could talk to our police folks about this, but sometimes when you put emergency stuff with non-emergency stuff, it gets a little watered down.
Right.
And so our advice would be take those general things and put it onto a general text and have emergency stuff still be emergency. Now the other idea that you can pursue, and again, people are very funny about text messages and cell phones, but if they have it associated with their Beaches account, you could say, we're starting this new thing, if you want to opt out, do this.
Well, but what I'm talking about, Civic Plus, is our website. So there's a way to sign up for
through the website. Correct.
Through the website, which
correct.
Is not Code Red. It's totally separate.
It's the other one.
But I think a lot of people don't know that they can do that.
We did it. Yeah. We advertised it right when that website launched. We could probably do more, but it's not a super fluid.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. So are we thinking about doing it differently then?
Have we explored an app?
That is, and one of the things that was suggested too is like, how do you report things? That could be through an app where you got information,
but
you could
also banners.
Yes, yeah. You could also have an app. So it's a matter of seeing what works best for you all. Our just advice is be careful putting that regular information, and then the question of how do you get people to sign up? Mm-hmm. And so that's, again, I think the reason your Beaches Energy is so successful is because they didn't have to opt in, they opted out. And sometimes I don't know that I want something until I see it and go, oh yeah, I want that. And the other thing is, most of us are not always as engaged in whatever that topic is, so we might not choose to do it. And sometimes when you get them, every text message you ever get says, hey, if you want to opt out, do this. So we may consider whether you want to use an app, use a new system, use the existing one on the website, but allow more numbers to be put in initially. Again, people are sensitive about that, same way they are with emails, but you've shown that it works very well with your email system. So something to think about. Trust. This is a scary one to ask. Here's what I would tell you why, is because sometimes people assign trust, even though we're asking specifically about communication, sometimes they assign trust to how they feel about the city. If they were mad about something that happened in the city, they might rate us poorly in terms of communication and trust in communication. So I think we have to be a little careful with that. The questions we asked were, do you trust the city as a factual source of information? Do you trust what we're sending you actually is the right stuff? And again, 60% said yes.
Which is phenomenal.
That's a high number. That also means 40% did not say yes. And so again, it's hard to kind of figure out how do we try to build that, but we asked them, how could we build your trust? And so again, 69%, a high number, felt positive about opportunities for engagement. We said, is it easy to be engaged? Are there meetings? Are there opportunities for you to feel involved in this government? And again, 70% said yes. So when we said, well, what could we do to improve trust? What could we do as a government to have you feel like we're more trustworthy? They said, number one, you're going to hear this in, say, a time or two, use what we tell you. Use what we tell you. If we give you information, we want to see that you actually not just heard it, but you used it. And so an example, because we were involved with a project in another community where they were building a community park, and the residents told them what kind of play equipment they wanted in the park. And so when they open up the park, their intent is to go back and say, remember that thing you picked at that meeting? It's right there, right? If I tell you something, I'd like to see that you're doing it. So another example for you all with the urban trails and the controversy around the trails. When people said, can we try to figure out how to keep it mostly for now on public property? And you all said, yeah, we think we can do that. Let's go back and tell them we heard you and we used it. I've encouraged Jacob, after this process is done, to go back and tell the people who took that communication survey, hey, folks, here's a link to the survey, to the strategic plan that includes your responses from the survey. Let people see that when they tell you something, you're actually responding. They said that's going to build their trust, number one way. Provide information on projects and do it earlier. What is early? If you tell them it's 6 months in advance, they say you never told them because they forget. So trying to find that perfect time, which I think is typically 10 days, a week before. If you tell me 3 weeks before, I forget when you were closing that road, or a reminder, right? Give people some time, but if it's a big plan, they want to have time to know what are the opportunities to engage. They don't like to feel rushed. More transparency with data, information. They said in terms of whether it's sending us more emails, holding more meetings. Interestingly, everybody wants kind of like the idea of meetings in their community, but then when we asked them, do they really want to go to those meetings, they were like, no. So they like the idea, they just don't want to have to attend. Okay, we get it. But if there was a project they cared a lot about, they would want to go to a meeting. They want to have you, as you guys talked about, come to us. If we're going to do something in a specific neighborhood, come to that neighborhood center and talk to us there. So we don't have to always come to City Hall. They like website forms, they love text messaging. That's one of the other things they shared with us from those surveys. And again, those surveys and the links to them and all the data is there. So our takeaways from the citizen feedback was build on your momentum of trust and satisfaction. It's good, it's better than most. There's still opportunities for growth. The other thing I would tell you is probably when you have those high numbers, you're not gonna see it jump from 60 to 90, right? It might go 60 to 70. You know, you have to keep working at it. It's gonna go up incrementally because you're already fairly high. optimize the communication channels that are working, but then layer in the new things. And a lot of them were things you guys suggested in your individual interviews as well. And then last one, we talked about demonstrate responsiveness to their concerns and input, because that builds both trust and civic pride. That they feel like they had something to say about it. You did something that they recommended, makes people want to do it again. So quickly, we'll just hit these eight areas that we thought were the most important for you guys in terms of your strategic plan. And again, these are for you all to decide how you want to do them, but these were the eight that we thought were most important. Have a consistent city brand and voice. And what we talked about there was the importance of coordinating all messages so that everything is either comes through one department or is at least reviewed, so there's consistency of messages, right? So we're sending out the right message. We talked about having communication plans for key projects. A one or two page thing that says, here's what we're doing, here's why we're doing it, here are the key messages. Guess what? We think those should be shared with council members. So when your residents are talking to you, you have that same information. You can choose to use the messages or not. You have that same background. So key projects, we thought that would be important. A citywide communications manual, I already have one that has a brand guidelines, but we felt it was important to have message templates, content calendars, ideally in the future also crisis communication plans, so we have things already ready for when the storms or whatever else happens to come. Get more information from departments, just pretty basic. Citywide editorial calendar, and then we thought it was important to offer to anyone who communicates on behalf of the city some training on how to do that more effectively. What are the words that resonate? How do I make sure things come across in a way that works? And so that was another suggestion. Number two, you guys had a lot of feedback on this, was enhance the digital and social media presence. And so again, we have lots of details on that in the plan, but in general, it was to have more videos, continue using AI. And you're like, do we use AI now? The answer is yes. We do not use AI by itself. We use artificial intelligence to help with idea generations. It can help sometimes with content calendars. You cannot turn AI loose. It has what they call hallucinations. It makes stuff up. It also can impact negatively the trust you have if it doesn't have the human touch. So yes, use AI, but appropriately. More videos, fun, engaging posts. One quick thing, we see a lot of responses, and this is something that again, I don't get to play the city attorney, but one of the questions is, we've seen where there is a lot of engagement if you are sharing as an elected official information about city stuff, because you have lots of contacts. The question becomes, how are we dealing with that appropriately related to public records laws? Again, something that your attorney can give you advice on, but if the attorney says, yes, that's your council page and you're sharing it as a council member and it's not an election page, right? Those kinds of things will increase the viewership because you guys have a lot of contacts and there's some benefits to that. So including employees sharing things as appropriate in accordance with whatever your attorney's office says. One quick note on Beaches Energy, again, we encourage more organic reach. And so even looking at the big guys, like if you look at Florida Power and Light, you think, well, they're gonna look like an ad agency did them. No, they're all humans. They're all people doing energy audits. They're people sweating. They're people putting up lines. That local content is what gets people more engaged. So we encourage them to do more organic and less paid to try to expand their engagement with the community from Beaches Energy. Okay, and then Nextdoor, a lot of people talked about Nextdoor, a popular tool. If you have the staffing and ability to do it, Nextdoor is a great way to reach a lot of neighborhoods that are not responding to some other tools. All right, strengthen trust and transparency is the next one. I skipped the Beach Life, sorry. Beach Life, guys, they just told us over and over again, send it more often. So we made that one of the recommendations that we expanded to bi-monthly. It's a lot of work to put together a newsletter with that information. And so I don't think you can do that with your existing staff. I think the fact that you do it once a month is incredible. So they want more stuff by email. They also want more videos in that because they want to be entertained a little bit about government. Yes, someone has to produce the videos. Someone has to have the editing equipment to do those things. More forms, anyway, you'll see all of that. Building trust and transparency. Again, resident feedback, we've talked about text messages, we've talked about. They also want to see more of people So whether it's an interview with the head of somebody running a project or one of you, they want to see people talking about this government through these channels. So finding ways to be more prevalent and more present is going to be very helpful. They still like the things that some of you guys like. If there's a project in a particular neighborhood, they like door hangers. They may not see the newsletter, they might not see this, but when it's hanging on their door, they like that. And you all have done that effectively on projects in specific areas. People like the door hangers, they want like direct emails, and just explain, Jesse mentioned geofencing, but that's a term used to capture a specific area to where you pay that when they open up their email, it will have information about the city. So you take out the chance that they might see it, and you pay for them to be more likely to see it. And on social media, it doesn't have to just be Facebook. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, whatever tools you choose to put it on. All right, in response to their questions. When people have questions, particularly with the city one, there are typically responses back to questions. We're encouraging you to respond positively to when people say things, because the engagement back and forth builds more people seeing it. So saying, thanks for loving, you know, whatever it is. The police dog, oh my gosh, people love the police dog. What's his name?
Dex.
Dex.
People love Dex.
You put a picture of the police dog, you get all kinds of things because people like interacting with that. Then say, thanks for loving Dex, he loves you back. Whatever, responding back in positive ways builds that engagement as well. Okay, last four. You all talked about this and they like it too, your residents. Expand the feedback with neighbors, businesses, and interest groups. Part of this is if somebody is already having a meeting, try to get on their agenda. Don't go have a city meeting if they're already having a meeting of a neighborhood group or a civic group. We just want to be one item on their agenda. So they don't have to come to you. You go to where they already are meeting. If we're kicking off the Little League summer baseball, okay, great. Let's go to the kickoff and mention, hey guys, we're trying to get your feedback on what you want to see in this new park. Go to where they are to try to get more information. Promote the civic image and civic pride. There is a huge goal, and some of you all talked about, how do we maintain that feel of the beach life? There are folks who, some of you talked about it, some people are like, we don't want any more growth, we don't want any more people, they just kind of like us the way we are. Let's promote what people love about this community. So spend more time, I call them beauty pictures, but sharing pictures of people and things that build city pride in that regard. Some specific things that we talked about in that were things like anytime you can collaborate. If a business is doing something and they're promoting something, give them a shout out. Find ways to connect with other folks who may have more tools than you do to do outreach. Collaboration being important. And then some other ideas, recognize volunteers. People in the city love being a part of the city. Let's highlight them and show who's doing what in the city, and that will build both pride and engagement. Okay, last two. This one I heard strongly from the council. We heard this from another city one time, but I summarized the message as no surprises. If a resident comes up to any elected official, city manager, communications director, anyone in this room and says, what's happening with this? What we heard from all of you all is we want to know first. So a real focus, the city manager talked about this a lot too, that elected leaders should be the first to know of any key issues, challenges, things coming up. So that may mean you get more texts, you may get more emails, you may get more phone calls, but the goal is that you know before someone asked you. I don't know that we can ever do that to 100%, but maybe 99% would be the goal. And to ensure to the best extent possible you have that information. We don't do a ton with employee communication now. There's a focus of trying to share information as we can, but an organized way of saying, how do we help make sure that our employees become our ambassadors and that they reflect the messages we're trying to send, a more conscious effort at doing employee communication, and use more emails to serve the needs that people have shared. And then the last one, you got to do this, measure, evaluate, and adjust. So as we start doing some of these things, you have to go back and check. So we use something called key performance indicators for all your communication channels. And you can track and see how we're doing on each one of these things, what's working. When we ask people about building trust, the people who took those surveys, we heard over and over again, do more surveys like this. Ask us more often. Send us things. Allow more people to be a part of this system, which they can. Anybody can sign up to do that. They want to have you asking more of them, and they want to be able to give you their opinion. There's a lot of analytic reports that can guide your gaps and will also provide, you all will need updates back to you to say, what are we doing? So we recommend doing more surveys with your residents, even in the area of communication, to find out, are we moving the mark? We have a baseline. Are we moving it up? Are we doing a better job as we go along? So fun part, save the best, the funds to the last. So how do we do this? This is something that you all get to decide along with the city manager if you so choose to do so. We would recommend to do the kinds of things we've recommended in this report that you add one full-time equivalent in year one. Again, when we said you have 1.25, we have a full-time communications manager. We have a, we said 0.25, but we have a professional that works in the police department as a dispatcher, and she does their social media as part of her job. And has other responsibilities as well. Beaches Energy, as you all probably know, is done through a contracted service. And so they have their own way of doing that. We think you should look at, maybe there's some way to benefit from contracting some of that back internally. What if we took just the social media part and took it back in and did that? Could that help staff? Maybe. You know, maybe there's other things to consider with that. So at least some ideas of saying, consider whether we might be able to consolidate. It's not just staff. You know, if we talk about just people, if you're gonna have a text messaging service, if you don't use the one we already have existing, there will be some cost associated with that. If you're going to produce more videos, you're gonna need the video equipment and more editing equipment. It can't just be iPhone videos. It can, it doesn't quite get accomplished with what you wanna do. So thinking about that, we feel like there will be some cost associated with accessibility compliance, particularly. One of the things it says is that if you have, for example, PDFs on your website, which every government has lots of PDFs, people who are blind cannot read PDFs. And so if it is something that gives me information that I need to do my business in the city, so like if it was where to pick up sandbags during a hurricane, or if it was getting rid of debris or sandbags. I did not say that. No sandbags, sorry. They love their sandbags, we don't need the sandbags. If it was getting your debris picked up, or if it was something, you cannot have that in a PDF because it will not be readable by someone who's blind. If it's your city council minutes from 10 years ago, you can leave those as a PDF, right? So there's some rules, and again, I try to play attorney, I won't get all those things right, but there's so many things that are gonna have to be changed. And it's not just about having to do it, it's about making sure that your website is accessible to people regardless of how they come to it, right? If they have trouble reading or they have trouble hearing or seeing, it's trying to make it accessible to everyone. And then the other thing that could come to cause is hiring someone to help you with the leadership and staff training for communication. So we try to at least give you an idea beyond staff of what could be included. And very last, the how do you measure? So we think, we like to talk about what's called quantitative and qualitative. I talk about quantitative as numbers, right? Numbers on the website, Jess, you can tell
us. So the kind of things to keep an eye on, especially for the future, and we've talked about website search terms in a 365-day view to make sure we're keeping ahead of trends, things even like session duration, and we did include in the lengthier report some recommendations about kind of the sweet spot. How long do you want people browsing? There is some guidance on that. Things like for social media engagement, we really talk about reach and engagement. So reach is how many, kind of broadly just speaking, how many eyes on this post? Engagement is how did they interact with the post? Did they get eyes on and then just move right past? Did they engage? Did they share? Did they comment? Did they leave some kind of feedback for us where they might even be expecting a response? Things like event attendance, just raw numbers on that. The e-letter news responses and analytics from that, so things like bounce rate. We can find ways to reduce that by getting rid of domain names that aren't real, and that takes a little bit more like looking into those and removing them or working with software that does it for you. Things like the amount of people that are signing up and opening it consistently. Text message responses, especially if we expand either the ability we have through the website or find an app or a new kind of text service to use. Numbers about, okay, how many people actually open the text? How many people, if we ask them for feedback or say yes or no responses, how many even engaged and gave us a response? And then what were those responses? So quantitative, focusing on the numbers and the analytics. Then qualitative is more about less numbers, more about feedback. How do people feel about these kind of things we're using to communicate with them? So resident ratings on communication efforts, and like Michelle said, people like the surveys. They really liked being able to give kind of an anonymous feedback, really about a broad kind of coverage of things. So again, we asked about trust and engagement first and communications initially. What we really recommend is keep doing those surveys. People like giving responses, and built into the surveys, we let them really put in their own input. And I think sometimes that can provide an insight to the things people are wanting and seeking as a community. Knowing our resident trust in the city as a source of factual information, which again, I think goes a lot back to those surveys. We have a good standpoint. How can we build on that? Check back in 6 months or a year later, kind of see, are we moving the needle? Have we changed things for the residents in our community? That perception of being heard, feeling like they can actually say something. I want this in this park. I want this with those community trails. I want these. Feeling like they were actually heard and their consideration of resident input was given real consideration is very important to them. And I think we talked about this earlier, but letting them know, hey, if you said you wanted these things in this park, here is exactly how we included your feedback, and making sure they feel heard. And then that civic engagement feedback. We really find surveys are helpful for the qualitative. A lot of the things on the quantitative, the number side, comes from the analytics of the websites, your email distributor, their analytics, and the social media analytics themselves. And those are things that are good to keep an eye on continuously because it helps us monitor trends. So right now, we know, for example, with the website, that parking is a huge search thing. People keep asking about it, how to pay it, or the resident parking program. We can keep those kind of things in mind to know we are, especially if we see those numbers go down in the search after maybe we've changed something on the website, if they're searching for it less, that means we put it in their face and made it a bit more easy for them to access that information, and again, are doing what they've asked.
I'm just going to leave this slide up here and let you guys start having discussion and ask questions on the next slide. I just wanted you guys to see some things that we picked from some of the things. When we asked you all what would be success, this is what we heard you say. So we tried to take a quote from each of you about what was important, from telling our story to giving what the community wants, more engaging forms of media that people will listen to, multiple ways for the community to be engaged, more stronger, streamlined, targeted marketing and a strategic approach for projects and initiatives, strong, accurate messaging, improved two-way communication, and improved internal communication. So we tried to do...
Why am I not up there?
Why are you not there?
And why is John so short?
I guess I didn't say anything.
You said so much. I did this on the way here today. I went, let's add one statement. I did not know how I forgot that. I did want to mention, somebody said in the survey how much they appreciated Sandy's newsletter that she sent. I thought that was a nice call out on one of the surveys. We'll add that before we send this back to you. How did we miss you? I don't know.
Nice.
That was me.
Good try.
I do have a question because... You know, so we're opening up the communication, and hopefully we will be sending out communication in all different ways, and we'll be getting it back in all different ways.
Right.
So what have you seen governments do to make sure that they're managing everything that's coming back into us? Because that's an area that I have concern with, that, you know, we need to be able to keep track of everything that comes in, because that's going to impact the trust.
Absolutely.
That the community has.
Right.
And so what do you see other governments doing?
I mean, obviously the easiest way is surveys, because you get those surveys back in a way. But I would encourage you all to also use surveys at every other kind of event.
No, I mean, like, we're getting this stuff in and it needs to be...
You're talking about, like, emails?
Well, we're getting information. Maybe it's complaints, or maybe it's this or that, whatever, you know, but it's stuff that needs follow-up, right?
Right.
I mean, and so we need to have a way to keep track of all of those things, or else it just falls through the cracks and it doesn't get addressed, and then the citizens are frustrated because we're not listening, we're not, you know, not being responsive, you know, that kind of thing.
And I do think sometimes there's more than one way, because you mentioned the app. The idea is if you have an app, you can track those things like complaints and when they were fixed and how that was done. I do think surveys allow you to do that. I think events, you ask people for feedback, but I agree with you, there has to be some way within those tools to kind of bring them together so that you guys know what we're hearing and that we get some sense of what the community wants.
Follow through is the key.
The app helps with the follow through, because if you put something into the app and then you see it done, that is a nice way of follow through. Again, sometimes people ask for things that are unrealistic, and we know that. And so even a response, even when it's something we can't do, people tend to appreciate. Or if it's not our function, sometimes people do not understand the functions of this city versus greater area around us. So sometimes explaining those. But I do think, yes, you're going to have to figure out a way, because I don't think there's one way to do that. I think some of the things that you guys are talking about with software might help with doing that.
So I'm going to piggyback on Sandy's discussion topic, because that's one of my favorite ones as well. So while there may be a variety of options to communicate back, I think we need to have some consistent processes to capture the information. So, and because there's lots of ways we get it. So we have a civic comments on our website, right? And then we'll all get an email, but I never know who's responding to the email, and then I'll try to follow up, and then, you know, it'll be turn out to be somebody who it's not their district, or the city might have responded, or they didn't, and you don't need seven of us responding to it, right? And so there's processes like that are just not working. There's something as simple as courtesy of the floor. People that think so much about their issue that they've built up the courage to put their thoughts together, they come before the council, and they say it, and 3 minutes are up, and we thank them, and they sit back down. And if that was me, I would be devastated, unless I understood that's what was going on. But a lot of these people come one time, and they don't really realize that's the process, and I know why we do it. But there's still things that we do afterwards. So there's a series of these things that I think, particularly when people are really focused on an issue, like when they heighten their level of concern and they've reached out to us very specifically, where our processes ensure that they walk away not feeling hurt. I think we have a few of these things, and once we put together an implementation plan and start to identify these, we have to put together systematic ways of capturing that information, and then a way to set expectations that we're going to apply. And I'll just use an example of the trucks parking on 3rd Street. For a year and a half, periodically, somebody would come in and talk about that, and we all knew the answer. And they would finish, and they would go sit down, and it was like, ugh. And so there has to be a way for us to say that you've been heard and get information back out to you. And it's not an email to one person either, because that one person gets that email, which is what we used to do. But then a week later, somebody else comes in with the same complaint. So we're getting a lot of data. We're data rich. What we need to do is now be information back out to the community rich. So I'll stop there. So I agree that that's really, if we don't close that loop, then all this will be for naught.
Well, I'm going to add another layer to both your points. I think if we had somebody that was in charge of the engagement analytics, kind of like Google Analytics or whatever it may be, just engagement analytics, that controls information both going out and coming in. So if you're having responses on Instagram, or you're having responses on Civics Plus or wherever it is, whoever's in charge of engagement analytics, they're going to see that. So if they see a bunch of people responding to a certain post, they can say, whoever's in charge, Jacob or myself, or they can direct it to Beaches Energy or whatever the post is about. So I think it's important that if we have another staff member, one of their priorities ought to be engagement analytics, and then they can look at the algorithms per social media entity. For instance, I know for a fact that if you put a lot of stories on Instagram, it's not going to increase your algorithm. But if you put one reel out there and then put another reel out there, Instagram loves reels, and you're going to get a lot of responses back on that. That's just the way one of their systems work in algorithms. Google's completely different. In fact, they're pretty transparent. If you want to know how to get high on the Google hit list, here's how you do it. And so there's, but you got to have somebody in that role that looks into that type of thing. And they see it both, information coming out and information coming in.
Yes. That person should also provide us this, should provide to the council on a monthly basis how we're going on our KPIs, just like we do on the finances.
So I think a good example of this, I wish we had gotten ahead of it, was the big ditch that was created by the outfall on the beach a few weeks ago, where we did put some messaging out. Now, we were being responsive to some complaints online. I wish we had been ahead of it, but I still was pleased with the fact that we saw this conversation going on in the community and we got on top of it. I have just a quick couple of technical questions. questions. Are all staff on the Beach Life email distro?
No.
We can add them up.
Can we? That'd be great. And then when you do the next month's email, are you just taking last month's, copying it, updating it?
Yeah.
Like, you're not starting from, okay, just wanted to make sure. Every time I go to buy something online, a pop-up comes up that says, for 10% off, enter your email address. So does Civic Plus have an option when someone goes to our website? That would be interesting. And then the real thing that...
10% off your next email?
10% off your
electric bill.
That's parking fine.
But I have a special email for those 10% off discounts. But the theme that kind of... I don't think we have talked about it enough, but it really came through in your report and in this presentation, is Beaches Energy Service, because that was one of those that, if it's not broken, they do a beautiful job, their communication is slick, we always have a pay. Who do we have right now? Is it Shepherd?
Shepherd.
So we're paying someone to do this beautiful thing. The fact that they only have 3,000 some odd, they're not just Jacksonville Beach, they're Neptune Beach and Ponte Vedra, Palm Valley, so they should be a lot more. We're serving a lot more people. So, and I'm glad you said it, because I was going to say it if you didn't, was carving out some of that social media, because their stuff is very generic, it's lovely, but very rarely do they have a local
focus.
Yeah. And it's so different than our police department and our city, which I think are doing a much, much better job of that. So I'd be interested in looking at, and we really haven't, again, if it's working, then it's great, and everybody loves Beach and Energy, but when we have an outage at 9 o'clock at night, people trying to put their kids to bed, and there's nothing on their Facebook page, that's a problem. So that has happened more and more. So I really think we need to dig in on that contract, and I don't know when it's up again, or if it's something we want to...
They're spending that much money for something that we're getting 3,000, 4,000 people.
And they're paying, And most of it is paid.
Mike, is there any reason why it has to be separate, or is that something we could fold into a single process?
We can take a look at it.
Well, because they could create the content, and then we push the content out, well, you know, for the slick professionally designed stuff that, you know, I get it, but I think that's a real area of opportunity, especially if we're looking at funding additional positions.
I see a new series, the B-roll, Beaches Energy.
But well done. This was really
yes.
We really enjoyed the process.
We need more time.
We need more time. To talk about this.
And just to the last slide, this was just a summary of things. You guys approving it, looking at resources, doubling the newsletter, more videos, text messaging. And I 100% agree, processes to get that feedback and be able, you can't demonstrate you did it if you haven't captured a way to get it.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not measuring it.
Thank you guys for the time you gave us. You guys have put a lot into this yourselves, and we appreciate that. We got great guidance from the council.
Mike, when this is planned to come back for approval, is there a way for us also to get, not a super detailed, but a high-level implementation plan, just kind of, even if it's direct, you can mark it directional because of where we are, but just so we understand kind of what are those key activities that we think we want to do first that are going to give us the right bangs for the buck, just because I think having that, because we know this is a multi-year effort, but if you can put that in context for us, then I'd be much more comfortable, you know.
Just like last Monday's briefing with regards to the strategic plan and the six initiatives, tonight was to make sure that you were good with the strategic plan going forward for communications. Our next phase is exactly what it says up there. Karen and I have started having the conversations with Jacob about what the first new position to communications would look like. You know, what does the job description need to be? I think we got some feedback from you all here tonight as to, you know, where you think that person should slot in and what they should be working on. That will likely roll into the adoption of the 26 budget with October 1, which means the earliest we would start advertising that position is probably September. But our next phase will be, you know, seeing a lot of nods around the table that this looks good from a framework perspective. We'll start working with Jacob now and start laying out what do we see as phase one, phase two, phase three going
That's
forward
great.
Over the next 12, 24, 36 months, and then bring something back to you all to take a look at.
Perfect. Great work.
Okay. Thank you. Love working with you.
That wraps up the briefing. We can all go next door now for the council.
60 seconds.